This door was not an emergency exit. It was not wired to sound an alarm if opened, and there was no lighted exit sign above it. The door itself consisted of a heavy gauge wire mesh stretched across a metal framework. The mesh, the frame, the hinges, and even the lock face, excepting the keyhole, had been painted over with a red rust-retardant paint. There was a thin line of rust building up on its rod and sleeve hinges, indicating they had been exposed for quite a while to the moldering atmosphere on the other side of the mesh. However, by stooping and pressing my thumb to the floor beneath the hinges, my thumb came back up with flecks of red paint, an indication the door had been open recently. And there was more evidence of this. Cupping my eyes up close to the mesh, I could see that the floor inside had not seen a broom in a long while. There was a fine powdery residue covering everything. It might have been simply dust, or it could have been the remains of zillions of silverfish. Perhaps this end of the tunnel was a silverfish burial ground. Did every large book repository have one? Peering inside, I could see that treading across this layer of dust and following the angle of the tunnel as it veered left, continuing out of sight, was a solitary trail of human shoe prints. I aimed the beam down at the closest two. They stood out as distinctly as an astronaut's footprints on the surface of the moon. It was the same waffle pattern design, with the same jagged line bisecting the left sole. Definitely the same footprints I had seen the night of the murder. Holding the flashlight in my mouth like it was a pretzel stick, I kneeled and unscrewed the cap of the fountain pen and slid out into the palm of my hand an assortment of lock-picking tools, two torsion bars, and four kinds of rakes. I selected one of each, and then, transferring the flashlight to the crook of my neck, I inserted the L-shaped torsion bar at the bottom of the key slot and gently applied clockwise pressure. But not too much. Too much would jam any yet-to-be-raised pins. But not too little either, which would cause any pins that had been lifted into position to slide back down in their slots, thereby destroying any progress I had made in cajoling them into alignment. It definitely demanded a light and sensitive touch. With the rake, I began performing rapid, repetitive movements, inserting its serrated length into the keyhole and withdrawing it with quick flicks of my wrist, a motion similar to what a woodpecker does going after an insect in a tree. I worked diligently for 5 minutes, but nothing happened and the lock did not give. The cylinder did not turn. I was beginning to think my attempt at picking this lock was going to work out about as well as my attempts to start a fire by striking a flint. I knew theoretically it could be done, maybe by an Eagle Scout, but not by me. I was much more the matches and lighter fluid type of guy. Counseling myself to be patient, I kept at it, trying to follow the technique I had been taught and to be sensitive to what the tumblers and pins were telling me. 5 minutes more of the same diligent work produced the same results. Zilch. The tumbler was not telling me anything. I tried different combinations of bars and rakes, varied my technique. Nothing. No give. Suddenly, like a fish that strikes the lure when you're least expecting it, the cylinder plug gave way a fraction of a millimeter, the movement so slight I could barely feel it. My hope rising, I maintained steady pressure while continuing the flicking action. When suddenly the tumbler gave way completely and permitted itself to revolve a full 90 degrees in its sleeve. Continuing its rotation by means of the torsion bar, the final quarter turn engaged the latch. There was a metal click, and voila, the door swung inward. Triumphantly, I stood up, uncricked my neck, straightened my knees, and stretched my back. I then stepped in over the threshold. It was at this moment that I felt I was embarking on a new course of action. It was as if, from the very first day of the semester, an invisible railroad train of intrigue had been silently rolling through campus. It had been there persistently all along, even though I had been doggedly attempting to ignore it and concentrate on my education. And, except for one or two brief forays into detective work, I had successfully managed to keep it as a back burner sort of thing. Now, in my stepping across the threshold, it was as if I had suddenly committed myself to taking an active role in the investigation. For the sake of a murdered co-ed and her grieving sister. And it was at this exalted moment that I did a majorly stupid thing. Keen to investigate, now that the way was no longer barred, I didn't pay close enough attention to the problem at hand. How to cope with the door's tendency to swing shut by itself. I should have used the rubber wedge. Instead, I elected to test the door first to see if its mechanism would rest lightly against the latch without relocking. However, the mere testing caused the latch to throw. I heard the metallic click as the door re-engaged, and I foolishly found myself locked inside the tunnel with any avenue of escape cut off.